Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
When you hear that bomb blast, get a shot glass. Listen to the podcast. It's all up in your bomb cast. Big J kills them like OJ Simpson. A quick hit the fingerless glove, don't bend. Get break quick by that big dick Dave Smith. He all up in your ribs while he talking politics. Or get bit when you rattle by that Puerto Rican snake. And natural born killers, legion of skanks.
Welcome to the class.
I was watching with my kids Toy Story 3, and I was just not at all prepared for how hard that movie hits. Like, I'm sitting there like choked up with a tear running down my face. Like, dude, it's such a serious movie. It's so good though.
Wait, is that the one where Andy is like in college and he has to give away his toys?
It's literally, so the closeout of the movie is at one point they're trapped in like a dump and they're all about to be incinerated.
Yeah, they're being incinerated and they all just decide that we're gonna die together. And
yes,
that's
they
just
literally go.
It
it's like they keep trying to escape and at a point they all make eye contact and they go, there's just nothing we could do here. And then they all reach out and just hold hands. And they're like, well, we're going to die together. We're going to burn alive together. And you're like, Jesus Christ. And I'm just sitting there. And I'm like, yo, what is going on? And then, yeah, then it goes to the seat. So that one's rough enough. And then the next scene is Andy decides to give all his toys away. Then it's Woody decides to give them away. And then Woody sneaks himself in with the toys. So as he's giving them away, I literally start crying while I'm saying this. So as he's giving them away,
let's have a moment, kid.
He sees Woody in there, doesn't know how Woody got in there. Then the little kid sees Woody. He pulls back, like, I don't want to give her Woody. It's like, I'm sitting here bawling with my 5-year old.
Dave, are you having your own Milo and Otis moment right now?
I was just like, you know, like, you can't be a little kid forever, man. No, the movie was so good, dude. I just was not prepared for, like, to be like, oh, I'm actually, like, being touched by this movie.
The reality is, like, all of the kids' movies are really good. Now, Jay, you kind of missed it. Because, I mean, not that they weren't good when Isabella was a kid. They just, what they did was they figured out.
Toy Story 3 was Isabella as a kid still.
I guess it was, yeah.
That's got to be around her time, right?
Yeah. I saw that. Isabella kind of fell off with things like, it was like a Shark's Tale. But I said the one that got me as in the theater that I was genuinely tearing was that we talked about that, David, the beginning of Up.
Just that's the rough.
The opening of Up is one of the saddest things ever.
Well, it's amazing that you'd be like, you know, you're like taking your kid to a movie. So you're already in your mind. You're like, I'm doing something for my kid. You're not going to see the movie you want to see. You know what I mean? You're going, it's going to be a kid movie. And then it up in the first 30 seconds of it, they're like, so this man's whole life is his wife. And they build this whole life together. And tragically, she can't have children. So all they have is each other. And then she's dead.
Is there any way we can play just the opening scene of Up?
It goes so hard so quick. Like right away. You're just in that. You're like, yo, what do we do? Like, it's just Schindler's List in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Now, let's see.
It's not very realistic. It's like, you know, they find that she can't have a baby. They skip the whole section where he starts cheating on her and resents her. And why would I marry this? Like, the whole thing is about creating a family, not a fucking flying house.
We should make our own with animation. And it should be like that. It should show the times in between before she dies. He goes, I don't know. Probably because you did so many drugs in high school, bitch. That's why we can't have kids. Because of your rotten insides, you crazy bitch.
What did you do? Did you have a hysterectomy, you fucking pig? That's what it was. She had HPV because she got plowed out by some fucking frat dudes. And she had her fucking insides taken out.
You can't have me children, you worthless bitch.
That's the real story there. They don't get into the actual story of Up, which was that... Here, let's see.
What they actually don't tell you is that he killed her for being not able to have children. And was able to pull it off and was able to win through his old man.
How do you think he bought those balloons? That was insurance money.
That's how they should have ended up, is that you find out that he killed her. I can't see a video.
I think we can't
because you're watching it on like an actual platform that you can't watch things on, Alex.
Disney Plus is blocking it. I can't.
Yeah, obviously, Alex. They're not going to let us just fucking stream from Disney Plus.
Just do a YouTube.
Yeah, they probably have opening scene from Up on YouTube.
Oh, of course they do.
And that We're song, just like the sad. That song is so perfect too for it. It just gets you.
I don't remember the song. I just know
it's like do 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 do.
Yeah, they use that. It's a trending thing on like TikTok and Reels now. You'll hear it all the time. Do 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 do. Lauren, you're Lauren Dave. She always uses like the trending sounds. So it'll be like that, but it'll be like the kids like looking for Easter eggs. Lauren's so wholesome on the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't show him coming in her for 2 years straight. Being like, what is going on?
Okay, working things out.
It really is just misdirection. It's like they're like,
yeah.
They're like, we're gonna, this is the beginning of this movie. You're like, what a great love story.
Yeah, so far it's a lovely children's movie. Also, this guy's in terrible shape.
Yeah, he was the Bobby Kelly story.
They were pretty.
Turtle.
It does look like young Bobby Kelly with his glasses. He couldn't get up the hill.
I've been funny if they go, they show the picture of the clown of the turtle. He goes, murder. Murder? What is that clown? Murder? Oh.
Bobby and Dawn.
Just a sweet, loving couple.
Aww. Oh,
murder. Ooh, murder? I think you have something in mind. Oh, there's murder.
Babies, Evan. That's all they want is babies. They're dreaming about babies. Come, city.
But, dude, this
it's
is
time
already
to enter.
So five, I didn't realize it. Because
this is so harsh, dude.
Like, let's build the room. I'm blowing loads, and it's just a matter of time. Oh, she lost the baby.
What? Now, this is the point where he storms out of the office, questioning all of his life choices.
By the way, you don't know he made her sit outside until she could be fertile.
I hear the sun makes you fertile. Get out there.
Are you fertile yet? Because then you can come back in the house.
Oh yeah, this is as satisfying as motherhood.
Oh, and they can save their money to move to the place they want, even though they don't have children.
Also, I don't think you were going to build a house on a mountain if a flat tire took you out of the game.
Well, you know, a lot of these things take him out of the game, Dave. This is life. Life's happening over and over again. This is the whole scenario.
Yeah, that part is my life.
You'll cry over some fucking a slinky going into a fire, but you're not going to fucking be upset over these fucking real problems in real life, Dave.
He was a good slinky, Lewis.
These real people
with their...
Yeah, the whole point is that the toys are real. You guys are dumb.
Useless Cooter. Great name for a band.
Solid.
There was a band named Cooter back in the day. Do you remember that? I think they were like North Jersey like legends.
I gotta be honest with you, when I saw this in the theater, I don't recall her getting this old. I thought she died younger.
No. She dies.
Oh no. She gets old and dies.
She gets old and dies, and he's a bitter old curmudgeon.
She's gonna drop out right there.
Yeah.
So violent.
Starts jamming the end.
It's worse. He finally gets it together to get her the trip.
Oh yeah.
They're finally about to do it after all these years.
Go to Paradise Falls.
Vince in the chat says this is depressing. Hey Vince, this is life. You fucking asshole.
Harrington's crying.
Fuck you.
Harrington's crying right now. Harrington, have you never seen this?
Seen it.
She goes, I watch it every morning.
Any scene in my adventure book. But also, not for nothing, like, she kind of dies of old age. They lived a life. It's like, it's actually not that sad.
I know. I don't know why in the theater it really got me, because it really shows their whole love story. Oh.
Nah, it's pretty rough, dude.
It's sad, yeah. It's also, we're not in the state of mind right now to feel that sad about it.
Well, that's what we always try to do. We try to do this before on the show, where we'll try to watch sad things to cry. And that's not, you gotta get caught off guard. It's almost like Dave, in the beginning of this, had a moment where he's describing the toys going into the fire. And you're like, oh shit, getting emotional. Fuck. Time out.
Anyway, because those fucking toys are all faggots.
Fucking gas toys. I hope you burn.
I'd kill toys if I could kill toys.
What was your, like, if you had your own toy story, like life, what would your toys have looked like? Do you remember like your set of toys when you're like around that age? Because I didn't have a lot of toys. Mine, and we've touched on sort of these ideas before, but like I had two big rubber wrestlers, then I had like a Ninja Turtle, then I had a G.I. Joe, and I created my own world. I was like Sid from Toy Story, where like my toys were all broken and fucked up. And I gave them different names, like Hulk Hogan, my rubberized Hulk Hogan. I burnt his head with a lighter. So he had like a big black smoky head, and I cut off one of his hands, and I put like one of the hooks that you use for like a latch of like a back porch. And I called him Mr. Hook.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. So I created my own little like world of toys.
No, I wasn't a sociopath. So I didn't do any of that.
I was big G.I. Joes. I had lots of G.I. Joes, but my G.I. Joes, I used to, like I said, like I would be considered one of those like crazy kids doing the thing, because I got that baby screwdriver, and you were just able to make your own G.I. Joes out of your G.I. Joes. You like take them apart and put them together with different parts.
Yeah, but that's almost more creative. Like, that's not psychotic.
Oh, I didn't think I was psychotic.
Yeah, that's like almost like, in a weird way, they should have made that. It was kind of funny, as Jay, you invented something that today they may just, like, that'd be a cool toy for kids now, right? Imagine like G.I. Joe came with a little like toolkit, and your whole thing was to mix and match and make your own G.I. Joes. That'd be fucking sick.
I would do like Sergeant Slaughter's lower body and girl top. I was way ahead of the curve, guys.
Just playing with trans action figures.
Yeah, G.I. Trans.
No,
G.I.
I was big.
Call me Ms. Slaughter.
I like LGBTQ Joe.
I was big into the
LGBTQ bro Joe.
The wrestling action figures, but I never had the big ones. I had like the next generation that were like the smaller ones, but that was my shit.
But it's kind of funny, Dave, because you're literally like, you're like maybe a year and a half younger than me. And I think it was just that, like that little time was the difference between people.
I remember knowing about it. I knew about it. It was like, oh, those were the older ones. But like, I missed that. Like, I knew kids who had them and stuff. Yeah. But like, I never had those.
What a dumb fucking toy. All you could do was take the shape they were given and bang them into each other in a ring.
I had so much fun with them.
The wrestlers, it was maybe the worst action figure ever. And then they tried to invent little like things. So there was the first generation, which was just like, they were kind of hard plastic, but then the next generation after that,
they had like, the little thing you could like push on the back, and it would
Superfly barely, Jimmy Snuka
barely get off the ground. Like,
he was spring loaded, where his feet was, and his torso were a spring, and you'd go, and he would jump up, or like, I think it was like Hacksaw Jim Duggan's arm would like swing across.
Oh, see, I had the hard rubber ones. Now I will tell you what I had also, that were a little bit poseable, but it's so funny when you think about it. It's how smart they were. When I was younger, I thought it was great because I had some the He-Man figures, and I had Castle Grayskull. Now, if you even bring up a picture of Masters of the Universe Castle Grayskull toys and He-Man, you didn't even realize this as a kid. I mean, you still are with G.I. Joes too, but as a kid, you didn't realize this. You're just playing with a dollhouse.
Yeah.
I had a dollhouse. That's what that is right there. That's a dollhouse.
Well, and Jay, I mean, we could take it a step back and just say you were also playing with dolls. We don't need to even have the house.
Absolutely, especially, but I'm saying, G.I. Joes. Actually
really funny to be like, dude, when you really think about it, you're just playing with a dollhouse and your action figures.
Yeah, action figures and dolls. Well, you know, it's funny. That's what they had to do. Like, by the time I got to G.I. Joe, they started to be more what you would call an action figure because their elbows and knees and everything was, like, articulated. The wrestling figures that Lewis was talking about that I had a couple of, those are dolls. They're dolls.
They are all dolls. Well, they created the term action figure. I mean, I bet you could actually find the origin, and it was some Reagan fucking dad in '87 being like, You're not playing with no dolls. We're calling them action figures from now on.
I don't know about you guys, but that was like, that was the our first version. That was like 7-year-old me being woke. Like, if anyone ever called them dolls, you'd be like, real, like, it's action figures. Excuse me. Like, I'd be really sensitive about that.
My mom would be like, hey, why don't you take that doll out of your pussy and go be a man?
Well, it's funny. It was my grandmother used to call them my men, which was even weirder. Yeah. She goes, Jason's downstairs playing with his men.
Gee, Mike, I can't actually read the chat because I'm on my phone right now. Where did the origin of action figure come?
The term action figure originated in the 1960s with the introduction of toys that were marketed as more than just dolls, targeting primarily boys.
Hell yeah.
They're more than dolls.
That's it. That was it. I mean, it's so funny because it's like, if you step back, like if aliens were just to look at what we're doing, it's like, yeah, they're dolls. They're doll houses. Oh, look, he's got a blue Skip-It. She's got a pink Skip-It. It's still the same faggy toy.
Yeah. They'd be like, well, it looks like it's a civilization of gay boys. That's interesting.
He goes, yeah, but the tassels on my handlebars are black.
But it's so funny, like it just depends on if you have older sisters or not, because like Dave, I'm sure you played house, you played dress up, like my sister was 2 years older than me, your sister was a couple years older than you, so it was like there was just times where like my sister would be like, we're playing Barbies, and I'm like, okay, I'm playing Barbie, and I'd be walking around with a Barbie with my sister, the little fucking kid.
I'm sure I did. I don't remember though. All I remember is being real adamant that it's like, no, I don't play with dolls. I play with action figures. But that meant a lot to me.
Dolls. You're dolls.
But I loved them so much. It was so much fun. I mean, I would just create worlds and put on pay-per-view events. I'd have like,
oh my
and
God, I,
really
I can't
was
even imagine
like,
fucking Dave's kids' toys now. It's like, oh, it's your makeshift constitution. Look, it's a piece of paper with portrait.
Why can't you play with an economics textbook? What's wrong with that?
My
whole house is toys.
You have the entire Trump v. Kamala toy set?
I feel bad that like, I don't know, we just like, we have money in a way that like our parents never did. Like none of us are rich or anything like that, but like we all have like disposable income in a way that like my parents never just had. Like there was never just an option of like, oh, buy a lot of, but I think most parents do this these days, but my kids have so many toys, like so many. And I do feel like there's something wrong. Like
this way too, Dave, just now, just this year. Cause we're approaching Christmas. And James, and once again, James also, he's kind of an ass kiss. So literally, I'm like, what do you want for Christmas? He's like, Dad, I don't need anything. I have everything I need. And he knows like he's going to get accolades from the whole family.
I'll buy you everything then. Yeah. Then you get everything. You're such a well-adjusted little man.
But he knows like he's playing that game. He knows that's like what we want to hear. But the reality is like these kids have everything. I genuinely,
and they don't appreciate it as much as if you just had like a few things and then those are your toys. There are so many toys in my house that like just never even get touched, that are just
that don't
on
even get
shelves.
Opened.
They don't get used.
He's got like literally from 2-3 Christmases, toys that have never been opened from their packaging. So this year I'm gonna give him money to like to spend on things that he wants to use, and I'm gonna buy him a couple like little things. Jay showed him this fucking asshole cock sucking Jay piece of shit. You showed him this fucking $1,000 console that he would literally touch 3 times, and this is the only thing he's asking for Christmas this year.
Steam Deck. I don't even play it anymore.
It's ridiculous. He's got 2 Switches. Yeah, Jay, give him your Steam Deck. You don't play it anymore.
I still bring it on the road in case.
Jay still likes the option of being able to play it if he wanted to.
What does having a second Switch do?
Nothing.
He's got a travel Switch, and then he's got a Switch that's not connected to his TV that he could travel with.
He's got a travel one and a not travel one that he's got packed up for when he travels.
Dude, well, no, so there's one
and
that
the whole
it's
idea
like
about switches and it's travel.
Well, no, Switch is like it could be a console or it could be travel, right? So, but then they came out the Switch Lite, which is just travel. Which is just like, it's almost like a Game Boy. So the other one's like heavier, clunkier. You could take the controllers off and you connect it to your TV. So that was the difference. But once again, it was like he got Switch 1 year. He was like, oh, I want the Switch Lite so I can travel with it. And he touches them like 3 times. He's just not a video game kid.
He's like, Dad, if I'm going to be a merchant marine, I'm going to need something to kill my time. So if you wouldn't mind, please. For all my traveling.
Yeah, the shit that kids like now, honestly, is like Roblox. It's not even good graphics. It's just horrible, like self-made. Have you ever seen Roblox, Jay?
I've heard of it 1,000 times. I've seen it. It's like, isn't it the same thing as Minecraft? It's like somehow they've gotten back into shitty graphics, shitty games.
Yeah, well, it's like community-based. So it's like they're doing just a race against 30 other kids. And probably 6 or 7 pedophiles that are just beating their dicks when they bump into you in these worlds.
Yeah. Oops, sorry, kid. Aww.
I was thinking about that. Like, James, every time he's playing Roblox and he's in a room with, like, 50, 60 people, there's for sure a few adult men beating their dicks.
There's got to be. The ratio has to be, if there's 50 to 60 people, there's at least 4 or 5 pedophiles and at least 2 or 3 pedophile hunters trying to hunt those pedophiles.
Yeah, these kids don't even realize they're in the midst of a pedophile hunt.
Well, dude, then, let's get started. Today, we're trapped in...
Dude,
This is a new game?
This game, this is next generation, Dave. This is the 2025 version.
Why are their graphics so bad?
It's not
because they're user-uploaded games. So you and I could just like use the engine to make Roblox games and make our own game, and it could be like, you know, you're through a maze or whatever. So people make their own games, and then you could either sell them or you could download them for free. But then you make money because once you're in this Roblox world, like, you want to change your outfit, you buy an outfit or you buy like weapons or
all right
stupid stuff. You know, it's, I can understand how it's kind of fun if it was just like better graphics and more
less pedophile-y. That's so funny. That's the one of the best. When I was on Oddball Tour, dude, I used to watch Jeselnik had one of the funniest fucking jokes. He was like,
whoa, Jay?
Yeah.
We don't compliment Jeselnik on this show.
No, it doesn't make a difference if it's funny or not. Okay. He was like, I got that pedophile app that tells you the pedophiles in your neighborhood. He goes, in my neighborhood alone, there is 33 pedophiles. So why is it that we always have to meet at my house?
Funny. Shit. You told me a great Bonnie McFarlane joke while we're doing other people's jokes yesterday, an old Bonnie one.
Damn it.
The joke that you said that broke you on Bonnie that went, God damn it, she's funny.
Yeah, it was way early. Caroline, she goes, it was so similar. She goes, people, I don't know my left from my right. I don't think that means I should be raped.
I remember that one.
Well, anyway, yeah. These fucking, I don't even know what to do for the kids this year for Christmas. It's kind of nice. Like, I'm also at an age now where I'm going like, oh, I don't really have to work hard for another 10 years of working hard in me.
Whatchamacallit, it is tough. I know Isabella now being 22, exactly, goes, that's the fun thing too. Like, you guys at least are kind of still have a few more years of like them wanting like kid stuff and being super excited to get kid stuff. I remember that Switch the year was like, it went from like, you know, Legos to
birth control.
Yeah, no, but like makeup, you know what I mean? Like, she wanted like makeup and or clothes.
That's already happening for Bianca.
How old is
Bianca's
she now?
Bianca's list is all clothes.
She's 9, and she's wants clothes and makeup.
Designer clothes and makeup?
Nah, she doesn't really know. So, yes, but she doesn't know the difference. So, it's like...
No, right, but like, she wants the style. Some new. She wants the style she sees. Yeah.
It's weird, dude. Even like just the generation... We stayed kids for longer. Right, and we've talked about this before, about like playing with G.I. Joes like too late, like literally like putting my G.I. Joes down to jerk off and then going back to play with my G.I. Joes.
Or just like dictating, like when you realize you don't want to tell other people that's what you did for a while yesterday.
Yeah,
I mean, I'd rather tell them that I jerked off than tell them that I played with G.I. Joes after I jerked off.
Yeah.
But I think that kids, sure. I don't know that there's like 12 and 13 year old kids like playing with G.I. Joes now. I just watched it like on Halloween with like the amount of kids that were, I said we talked about this on the first day of school too, but like Halloween is crazy. There were kids not wearing costumes. Next year, two things I'm doing. I'm putting a sign on my door that says no costume, no candy.
Love it.
Wow. Lewis is really turning into his grumpy Clint Eastwood phase.
No, he just fair is fair. No Asians.
And I'm also getting, because I maybe had 25 to 30 kids coming to my door total. I'm going to get full size candy bars.
You're Ooh. Doing it. You know full what, size. Dude? I should do that too. Because I literally not only kids. Have, I only got like my, where I live is like also terrible for trick or treating because it's like
big houses, big driveways.
Well, you guys have both been to my house. It's
my girlfriend in high school that I dated lived in a very similar neighborhood to you where it's like these big, just the houses are just to walk from one house to the next. You're talking about like a 2-3 minute walk to get to the thing up the pavement down to the next house. So trick or treating is like actually kind of a nightmare.
Yeah, it's like, dude, like it's all big houses and big property. So it's a long walk to get to the house. Yeah. So you're walking like miles just to hit like a few houses, you know?
Yeah, 20, 30 houses is like your whole night.
So I get like maybe 7 kids come and trick or treat from me. And then it's like, yeah, why am I giving out these little things? Just give
you also spend more money. Those big bags of candy, they're like $30 a pop to get actually physically less candy than you're getting.
We could give each one of them a cake. Like, here's a cake for you.
Yeah, it's Halloween. It's also easier to put razor blades and stuff in bigger candy.
That is a very good point.
So if there is a kid like, in the neighborhood you'd like to kill, just know that like you could probably get him on a full-size Snickers razor blade.
Dude,
like every kid is getting a baseball glove.
Today, by the way, so crazy. Everyone gets a full remote-controlled car. What?
Dude, the Smith House rules.
Yeah, they give drones to all 5 kids in the neighborhood.
I spent about $90 on Halloween candy. I could have just ordered one box of Snicker bars with like 24 Snickers bars and just been the coolest house in the neighborhood.
Dude, I literally, like, by the way, which I hate, is Lauren always keeps like candy in the house for like weeks before Halloween. And then just sentences me to eating candy because I can't.
Oh, Lauren's that person. Valentine's Day, there's a dish full of red and pink M&Ms for 2 weeks before.
Yeah, and it's just like, why? Why are you doing it? Now, I mean, she goes all out on every holiday. Like the whole house is decorated and everything. It was very nice. It's very sweet for the kids. I love it. But, I was on. So I've just been eating candy for the last few weeks, which is I shouldn't be doing. And then I was at my hotel yesterday. And by the way, the greatest scheme in the world is the fucking mini bar and snacks in your hotel. It's just unbelievable. I don't know why every single hotel room doesn't do it. It's insane that it creates a situation where there'll be like it'll just be like whatever, you know, like a double espresso drink. And you're like, oh, do I want to go down to the lobby and spend $2 for a coffee? Or do I want to have this $17 coffee that's right here? And you just thought, but I mean, dude, looking at the candy, like I could feel what a drug sugar is because I'm not used to like eating candy like this. And I was looking at it like I'm a heroin addict.
I love the fact that Dave is becoming the fat guy on Legion of Skanks.
I'm trying.
there's gonna be a moment where Dave is the fat guy and it's gonna be the best moment of the show.
I think we still got a while.
Dave deserves a couple fat years.
We got a while to get there, but there is no question the trend is going in a bad direction for me. If it was a stock to buy right now, you guys are both going skinnier.
I don't think you're gonna be fat by any stretch, but it will be funny just to see like, you know, age just bulk everybody in some way.
Not me, dude. But I by the time I'm 50, I will be in the best shape of my life. Garen goddamn teed.
Yeah, you are. You're doing good now, man.
Yeah,
you rise and grind, dog.
Oh, can I?
I'm gonna be a jackass old man, dude.
So I think this is kind of funny, and I wouldn't bring this up if we were, but it's the paywall episode. But I literally just saw before
Dave, I raped a girl last night.
And who's gonna do anything about it? It's behind a paywall, motherfucker.
It's a paywall episode.
behind a paywall is Trump's America again.
So fucking, I guess Milo. A friend of the show got, I don't even know what, he got offended by something I said on Rogan's podcast or something, or he got offended, or he's mad at Rogan.
Milo, Milo?
No.
Milo Yiannopoulos.
Yeah.
And so he just wrote this thing. He just posted on Twitter. And he like posted a screenshot of his message to Rogan with his cell phone number in it.
No.
That is really his cell phone number. And he still has not deleted this. He just doxed himself while complaining about how like Rogan doesn't have him on anymore or something
like
that.
Yeah, but that's Milo is always a couple steps ahead. Milo's playing 3D gay chess. Okay. Like Milo's pulling pieces out of his asshole, putting them on the board, covered in shit and blood and cum. And he's just playing his own game right now. You can never tell what's going on with Milo, because I really do like Milo, but every time I see him online, it's always like he's like, if I was really ever gay, would I really be with this beautiful of a woman? And then he's with some chick who looks like a dude. And you're like, okay, whatever's happening, Milo.
Dude, I remember when it was the time he came in. I think he did the show a couple times, right?
Yeah, he did it twice. So maybe three times, actually.
Well, because
he did it
the presidential election. Yeah.
Right, right. So it was not the presidential election, but it was one of the second times where he came in where he was doing the straight thing.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I walked into Gas Digital. And it was just me and him in the like in the common room outside the studio. And we're talking and he just starts going off to me about how he loves women now and he's straight. And I was almost like looking around and I was like, Milo, like we're not on camera. Like you don't have to do this.
It's kind of funny. He almost
with me. And then he just broke and he just went like, would I play a practical joke on everybody, Dave? Is that really like me? And I was like, what are you doing?
Well, I think it was funny. It's almost like Matan in some way like that, where it's like they committed to the bit the whole way from like meeting you to coming in and doing the whole thing. And then at the end, kind of like that's what I thought. That's why whenever I talk about Milo, it's always like, you know, especially when they're like he's a monster and all this kind of shit, I'm always like, yo, as soon as we would be like, we'll catch you guys next time on Legion of Skanks, he goes from like busting our bike to being like, that was so fun, thank you, so I love playing with you guys and blah blah blah.
He's like, here, take a rook, and then he pulls a rook out of his ass and gives it to you.
Here's a rook for everybody. I've got 18 up here, don't worry.
He's like, I keep the knights in there because I like the way they feel.
Yeah. It's the hook hits your prosty.
You guys can have as many rooks as you want, but these knights are mine.
They hit me on my prosty.
Oh, shit.
Right in me prosty.
You want to do plugs real quick?
Sure.
Plug it up. Plug it in.
Sure.
I can't win. Battle me. That's a sin.
You want to go first, Davey?
Sure. Well, I'm at it tonight. I'm at it Poughkeepsie. If you're listening to this right when it starts, you could probably make the late show. Ooh. But you got to leave now. You got to leave now and get to Poughkeepsie, or it's not going
to
happen.
Listen to the rest of this later.
And then in a couple days, what is it? On the 10th, November 10th, one night only at Helium in Jay's home of Philadelphia, doing a live stand-up show and a live Part of the Problem. I got Robbie the Fire Bernstein and Chris Vega coming with me on that one. And then, of course, all of us will be reigning in the new year at the Comedy Dojo in Morris Plains, New Jersey. I'm looking forward
to
that.
There's a handful of tickets. That's going to sell out probably, I'm assuming by the time this airs, that show might be sold out.
Yeah, like if you want to come celebrate New Year's with us, jump on those tickets immediately, because it's not that big of a venue and it's going to sell out quick. But yeah, that's going to be a fun time. And then I'm off. Aside from that, I'm not traveling or nothing during December for work. So just doing podcasts and staying home, taking some much needed rest. And then I got a bunch of stuff coming up in 2025. I got a bunch more dates that I actually just got ticket links for that'll be up on the website in the next few days. But coming all over in 2025, comicdavesmith.com. Of course, partoftheproblem.com. To go support my other podcast, and yeah, that's all. What a crazy week it's been too. I did a bunch of I just did Rogan and Patrick Bet David, and I did Alex Jones' show for the first time ever, which was very interesting. It's very interesting to meet that guy.
Well, I want to ask you about that in a second. Go ahead, Lewis.
Sure.
Come see me live on the road. Go to lewisofskanks.com. Also sign up for my mailing list at lewisofskanks.com. That's going to be a new feature added this week. All like everything from you know, first drops on tickets to, I'm doing a bonus solo show every week that you could only get through the mailing list, and just news, things like that. It's all things Louis J. Gomez, and everything from Skankfest news to the podcast specials and all that stuff. You'll get pre-release and pre-release information and all that stuff just by joining my mailing list through lewisofskanks.com. But next week I will be in Waterloo, Ontario, Canada, Princess Cinemas on November 14th. Then that weekend I'm at Backroom Comedy Club in Toronto. Very, very small room. The late shows are already sold out. Get tickets now for the early shows. All the shows are going to sell out in Canada, so come grab those tickets. Then December is heating up. I got the Regs at the Gramercy Theater on December 11th. I have Dojo of Comedy solo headlining show Morris Plains, New Jersey on December 12th. And then I'm in Emmaus, Pennsylvania, Emmaus Theater on December 13th. December 20th through 22nd, Creek and Cave, Austin, Texas. And of course, obviously New Year's Eve with the Legion of Skanks. Get all those tickets on Lewis of Skanks. Check out all my other podcasts, The Regs, Lewis and Zach Show, Story Wars, which is fucking blowing up. Everybody loves Story Wars. And yeah, that's that.
America's newest craze. BigJComedy.com for all my dates. If you're listening to this and you want to see me this weekend, I think you're fucked. They're all sold out here. Comedy mothership. But next week, hey, you know what? But if you live here and you want to drive to Louisville next week, I have a feeling there's probably tickets available for that. Louisville Comedy Club, Houston Improv coming up after that. Philadelphia, of course, for Thanksgiving weekend, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. Wednesday is going to be a headline show, and then 10 p.m., as I said, a story, live Story Wars special edition in Philadelphia at Helium.
And I will say, we can announce the lineup for Story Wars. We're doing special guests. You're going to want to come to Story Wars if you are anywhere near Philly. It's going to be a pretty fucking crazy lineup.
It'll be a really, really, really fun one. Absolutely. St. Louis coming up. All over the place, everybody. Get tickets to us at New Year's Eve, of course, Dojo of Comedy, two shows live, stand up at 8 o'clock, and then ringing in the new year with the Legion of Skanks podcast at 10 o'clock. Look for a city near you, BigJComedy.com. And listen to The Bonfire 5 days a week, Faction Talk, SiriusXM 103 with me and the great Robert Kelly, and of course, Story Wars. Right here on Gas Digital Network, America's newest craze.
It's been good.
Can I ask? I know what that story is. I haven't done it yet on anything. What? But is this the politician's sex tape scandal? Is that the Ghana guy, the guy from Ghana who just fucks everyone's wife?
He's from Equatorial Guinea.
It's supposed to be beautiful.
I know. Why does Harrington say it like he summers there?
But he didn't really like correct Alex on it.
Mosabi.
Oh, that's a great reference.
Mosabi. Piku.
I don't even remember if that's the right sound. I think you're half doing his Asian game show movie.
But
what's so funny about it is that he always guesses the same wrong sound. He can't read it. He just guesses the same for every letter.
Almost heroes. Late, great Chris Farley, everybody.
And the late, great other guy. They're both
Matthew
dead.
Perry. Oh, shit. That's right. They're both dead.
Yeah.
They both too much.
Chris Farley and the guy from Friends who died made a movie together. That was like...
Oh, Matthew Perry.
It wasn't one of Chris Farley's bigger ones. No. I think it came out after he died. I might be wrong about that.
It was his last thing.
But it did have a few funny parts that were fucking great.
Matthew Perry. They tried to push Matthew Perry with a few things. He was in that movie... Why Do Fools Rush In with Salma Hayek?
Yeah.
That was a nice early Lewis jerk movie. Salma Hayek, she could just get on screen and I would fucking be... She was just such a woman.
Salma Hayek in Desperado, I will put it, I'll argue, is one of the most attractive women I've ever seen.
Yeah, to this day. No. I mean, that scene... I mean, I've talked about it so many times, but that was a scene where my mother... I'm watching it with my mom, and she goes... If I had a dick, it would be hard right now. Core memory.
Nice. That really built you. That's really part of the building blocks of you, dude. That's the roadblocks of Lewis.
But I mean, it's hotter than you even remember. Like, she puts her foot in Quentin Tarantino's mouth and pours the drink down her leg.
Oh,
like,
Dusk Till Dawn, you're talking about.
Oh, what am I thinking of? I'm thinking of Dusk Till Dawn.
Dusk Till Dawn.
Which is a fucking rom-com.
But you know what's
funny? I know. I'm thinking of Fools Rush In, but then you said Desperado, and then I was thinking of Dusk Till Dawn when you said Desperado.
She was very hot in Dusk Till Dawn, but she was in that one scene, super hot.
It's but so funny. I know we've probably talked about this before, dude, but it is like it. All nudity in movies is like never necessary. And it's just so funny. Like when you know, like when you're a dude, you know what's going on there. And it's just so funny that Quentin Tarantino just had the balls to just be like, hey, I came up with this this scene. You're going to give like the most sexual lap dance ever. And I think I'll just play the guy. Like, I don't know. I was I'll just do it.
We're comfortable with each other. So you don't have to freak out putting your sexy stuff with George Clooney. Ew.
He just made her do it.
I wouldn't put you through that. I'm going to have you go with my gigantic fucking head. And
dude, I didn't. Maybe because I was like a teenager or whatever too, but like when I was watching that Vince McMahon documentary the other day too, it's like you never really like put too much weight into the fact that all those scenarios from the Attitude Era was Vince McMahon was writing it. He was writing the thing. Like he's like, oh, here's gonna be a funny thing. I'm gonna make you strip naked and crawl around and bark like a dog, and then you'll beg if you can please suck my dick.
Then I'll give you a slap on the ass, a little tit jiggle, and then you'll be on your way.
He's like, oh, yeah. And then like a decorated wrestler who's like a legend in some territory comes in. He's like, yeah, you're going to be a garbage man.
Yeah, he goes, your name's going to be Bag McHomo. And the whole thing is you're going to come out in an apron and a butt plug. Yes.
Yeah. You're a little gay bitch, and I'm the most alpha man ever. What is the issue here?
So funny. Yeah, he goes, all right, your name is Bruiser Johnson. That doesn't really have a ring to it. I'm going to call it Dick Lick Shit Stain.
He really, Gold Dust was from the most legendary family in wrestling.
And he's like, I want you to just rub your hands up and down your sexy body all the time. All right, good job. Hey, Dusty, come look at your son. Look what I've done to your boy.
He's 6'6", 312 pounds. I'm going to dress him up like a gold Barbie doll.
And I want to make him rub himself all sensual like.
Dude, I don't know why, but one of the storylines from when I was a kid that always stuck with me was when Dusty Rhodes, Gold Dust Dad, when Sapphire, who was his black wife.
I know, who's just like, by the way, she just looked like a homeless lady.
She looked and talked like a homeless lady.
Yeah.
And she left him for the $1 million man because he just had all this money. And the whole Dusty Rhodes character was that he was like a working class guy, was like, yeah. His music was like, I'm just a common man. And then she just left him for the $1 million man, and then she came out and gave some big speech about how he doesn't have any money and he can't give her the good things in life and she only wants to go. And I remember even at like 6 years old just being like, but they both have the same job. Like they're both professional wrestlers and one guy's got millions and millions of dollars.
This should if I had the $1 million belt
argument than a domestic.
I'm not trying to be an asshole here, but if you got the $1 million belt, you're going to go for a little bit better of a looking chick than Sweet Sapphire.
Also, if you got the $1 million belt, you probably just go pawn it right away.
Yeah.
I just won this tonight, so I could do whatever I want with it.
So there was like that thing, right? So like, it was always a weird thing. I watched it because I have been getting into like the Dark Side of the Ring documentaries here and there. And like when Ric Flair came out in like the 70s, right? And he's like style and profile, and he's like, you know, I got a private jet and three Cadillacs, brother. It's like, but he probably didn't. He was still getting paid like $300 a show, right?
He was making 25 grand a year.
But I'm saying, like, was the $1 million belt real? Well, how much?
No, not at all.
I'm not saying was it worth $1 million, but was it real diamonds? Like, was there some like hardcore fan that, Jay, you're just shaking your head no, you're pulling it out of your ass, you don't know the answer to this.
I'll bet you $1 million belt that it's not a $1 million belt, that it's not real diamonds.
The diamonds weren't real in the $1 million belt?
Yeah.
But don't worry, it's not much of a bet, or it's a humongous bet. We'll find out.
Nothing or everything.
I will bet you $100 that there was a version of the $1 million belt that had real diamonds that the $1 million man Ted DiBiase walked around with.
Deal.
Wait, it's $100? I can't explain. $100 million,
we said, Dave. Don't you even listen? It's the $1 million belt we're talking about here. We're dealing in mills.
Oh, I didn't realize. Yeah, I thought you said $100.
No, it's okay. $100.
Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Jay. Thank you a million times.
It's just really hard to get up for a bet between you two guys when the stakes have been so high in the past.
Oh, no. You got to. It's
$100
and it's all in singles. And we're going to do it one of those gun shooting, those dollar shooting guns. And we're going to shoot it right into your ass.
No, yes. Whoever loses has to do this. Yeah. While the other one of us shoots the fucking money gun at them.
Yeah. I like it. Nice little twerk, Jay. By the way, Jay just wanted to show us that he could twerk.
No. Is that really good twerking? You be honest. No, guys, seriously, be honest. Is it good or is it bad? Dave, you're not looking up. Dave, I noticed you're not looking up. Dave?
I have a monitor right here. I'm looking.
Dave?
I was looking at you. I saw it. So it wasn't great.
We have $100 on the line. Were the diamonds in the $1 million belt real? Here is the answer. Look at that. Look at that belt. As I'm looking at it, the answer is no way those are real.
Totally not real.
I got to be honest. This would be the fakest thing. Even I remembered it differently, and I was like, maybe it was.
That belt, dude, if those were real diamonds, that would be a $1 billion belt.
It would be $1 trillion for that to be real diamonds.
Well, guys, remember, this was the 80s.
The $1 million championship belt in the WWE was designed to look like it was worth $1 million, but it was actually much less expensive. The belt was billed as being worth $1 million, but cost around $40,000.
Were they real diamonds, Alex? $40,000 is a lot for a belt with fake diamonds.
And that's
they were not
money.
Real diamonds. They were cubic zirconians.
Don't be a fucking cunt, G-Mike. Every time I ask for an answer, here comes G-Mike giving me the wrong answer.
No, but here we go. Yeah, no, it says here there's a version with real diamonds.
Thank you,
that
Jay.
Was the
give
bet.
Me my
that
hundo.
Was the bet.
They said that's definitely a real thing.
Thank you, G-Mike. G-Mike, your job is safe.
G-Mike, can you pull that up?
Alex,
I X'd
you
it
dirty
out. I
bitch.
X'd it out.
All right. Fine, Jay. You win the $100 this time.
Finally.
Well, $100.
Can somebody get one of those dollar shooting guns, please? Thank you.
They sell them at Spencer's.
Do they?
Yep.
So funny. It's I went to was it somebody's birthday party at Corinne or Christina's or Christina Hutchinson's place, and it was someone's birthday. They had a stripper come, and they had that gun that shoots the money. I mean. There's nothing. It's the black approach to stripping, which is where that comes from, is such a different thing than like what a guy. Like, I have no like slapping. You see that kind of person when the guys come up and like when the girl's dancing, like they're slapping her ass with like a one and like sticking.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just so like, I'm just more of like I give it to her like when it's done like an actual tip. I'm like, that was a really great job here. Take this with your hand. Thank you.
Oh, no. If I'm going to do a strip club and be tipping dollars at the table, I turn into the Afro-Latino side of myself pretty quick.
Yeah, when they're laying on their back and you go over and like you kind of like let like a, you're holding all the money, but you let like a couple, like a one or two drop on her stomach a few times. Just like,
yeah. Really? And if she's really, if she's really hot, I'll make it rain. I'll smack it on her ass. I put it in her thing. I'll fucking make her pick it off my fucking stomach with her teeth. Yeah. Fuck yeah, dude. If I'm doing a strip club, I'm not going to a strip club to fucking be nice. I'm going to be nasty. Are you kidding me?
He goes, that's the spicy side, not the sweet.
Dude. There was a strip club in Brooklyn in Sunset Park, which was a pretty rough neighborhood, at least when I was a kid, and it was called Sweet Cherries, I believe.
Oh yeah, I went to Sweet Cherries. That place was like bullet hole and stab wound galore.
Dude, it was the grimiest.
Ghetto.
grimiest, most ghetto fucking place. Like, and everybody, you would literally, if you put a dollar down, the thing is, you'd put a dollar down and then just slap the stripper's ass. That's what everybody did. It was like you were paying a dollar for an ass slap. My buddy got a lap dance there and had like period blood stains all over him afterwards.
You have to pay extra for that when it's Perry's.
My buddy's name was me. I'm just kidding. It wasn't me. It was my buddy. But it was the grimiest fucking trip. But it was like it was legitimately dangerous to like walk around there and fucking like
Dave, to be honest with you, I might have went with you back in the day.
It's possible.
So it was like a notoriously ghetto strip club. There is this thing, it's kind of funny because you said you went to Christina Hutchinson's and they invited a stripper over. It's a very funny thing, and it's almost like old school now. It reminds me of when we actually had that beef with the guys we fuck girls. It's like they do this thing where they think they're actually being feminists, but it's like, no, this stripper was legitimately like abused to the point where she's now fucking taking her clothes off for money. You're sort of a part of the problem. And by the way, I'm not above going to a strip club. I'll go to a strip club, but I know I'm a part of the problem.
I treat them like abuse victims.
I'm not going like, look what I'm doing. I'm a part of this feminist movement. I'm supporting these women. No. I know that I'm a part of an infrastructure that is like literally keeping this woman in sex slavery, essentially. And I don't care. I'm not saying I'm morally above anything.
Yes. I'm just get it right. Get it right. Like, don't right. convince yourself that you're. Well, it's like, whatever. I think we played. I thought, Jay, you played once. I think it was on the show, right? Either you just showed it to me or you played it on the show. But those, the hilarious compilations of the wit empowerment. Stars being it's just so empowering, and then it cuts to like a guy like pissing on them while they lick a toilet bowl or something. You're like,
well, that was Lana Rhodes is the one, right?
No, it was a different one. I know the video you're talking about too, but it was a different one. She's talking about how terrible shit was. I'm sorry, these girls are talking about how empowering it is to do it, and you're like, listen, if you want to degrade yourself for money, like, go ahead. But so sit here and spin me this whole thing about like what you're doing. Like, we all know what you're doing. I don't know.
Me and Jay shove guns into each other's assholes. There's nothing morally superior to us doing it. We're degrading ourselves for money. That's what's happening.
Well, you're degrading yourself for a bit, for a joke.
But that's my job.
You're not making any more or less money than I am, and I would never do that to myself. So the point
I made $1,000 more that I never donated to charity.
Well, there you go. All right, you know what? You are making more money than me, and that's the price of Lewis's dignity, everybody. $1,000.
I'm about to get $100 collecting up on all my back sweat from my.
Yeah, fucking. But yeah, there's just something very, I mean, like I don't have a moral issue with any of this stuff. Porn.
Well, like, it's also, it's like the thing about it is that it's always, and this was always the problem with those two, you know, nothing against them, but it's always just kind of like, you're like, listen, you're not the girls who are in that world. You know what I mean? It's like, you're putting your like middle class white chick spin on the girls who actually are in that world. I have
good parents. I loved my life. I grew up middle class, upper class. These girls were fucking like straight up. Like I don't know many strippers who came from a good household and a good home and went into that profession.
There is no.
And by the way, I'm damaged too. I have my own fucking issues. Yeah. Like I've dated a few strippers, like casually, not seriously, but like in a weird way, like I felt like a kinship with them because I had such like a fucked up like upbringing that I understand why you're.
Sure. And you had a weird like sexual like thing too. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying like you weren't like abused like that, but like you were like, you know, like you were just saying like a wildly inappropriate mother and a lot of like sexual shit going on in your world. Yeah. It's like, I'm not even judging it. It's like people who went through that as a kid, it's fucked up that they went through that and they got to figure out how to exist in this world too. And like, whatever there's, but don't tell me it's something that it's not like,
I worked also in this net for such a weird amount of time. And then even SDR show for all those years, it's just like half those shows I'd walk out, you know, it's like you'd go, you'd have fun on the show. And then just from the stuff they said, you're like, what do you, does it call your family, man? Get out of this. This is crazy what you're doing.
Well, then every time they end up going, and we've seen it so many times now because, you know, porn stars retire. You know, obviously that's what, the thing that I'd like to jerk off to, where they talk about their regrets. That's like a, that's become like, I've been talking about that for a decade on this show, right? Like maybe 8 years ago is when I first came up with that concept. Right. And now it's very like prevalent because so many girls have retired, but somebody just came out recently and she's doing the Lana Rhodes thing. What's her fucking name?
Was it Ass Fuck Amy? Something crazy.
No. She's one.
You had me saying Riley Reid.
Yep, it's Riley Reid. Yep,
Harry really? Dean, pervert.
Yep, Riley Reid's coming out and being like, "I want everything deleted from the internet."
No.
Yeah, she's whoa. Like, she's married. She's got a kid now. There's like all these. So there's, it's like a picture of her holding up.
She's one of the only porn stars of the modern era that I'd say that.
But
I
is she like? Because I fell
that famous.
I wow. fell. I fell for like clickbait on this with someone else, where it was like they were saying she wanted them all deleted, but then it was like it that wasn't really what she was saying. She was just kind of like, "Oh, I wish it wasn't out there," but she wasn't like demanding anybody like fucking delete.
No, maybe
it.
She wasn't.
Riley Reid, it's like super like filthy gangbang, like over the top shit.
Well, that was isn't Lana Rhodes. All, she was like getting pissed that? In the mouth.
I think
like,
it's all that. That now. Porn kind of like it used to be like, I remember like when I was younger, like maybe in my early 20s, it'd almost be like that, like rough porn would be like its own like category. And there'd be lots of porn stars who like didn't do that shit. And then it just became a thing where like, that's what everyone did. Like,
I don't think
just...
so, Dave. So what I think, and I don't know, cause I'm a little bit out of the porn loop as well. Jay, I don't know how much actual porn you're watching these days. It just almost like
I don't know the stars or anything though.
It feels like, you know what it is? Because like, it's almost like, I think back in the day, you would get like a lot more porn being produced a lot. So it feels like porn production has, I'm sure the numbers are out there, but there's way less quality porn being produced because of OnlyFans and everything. Everyone just does it themselves now. But I think that if I had to guess, porn in general, the average porn content that's being purchased is a lot more mild. There's a lot of girls that are just selling feet. A lot of girls that are just doing solo shit. Yeah, a lot of those girls that were also famous doing porn now have OnlyFans.
I'm not talking about that. To be clear, I'm not talking about like that type of shit. I'm talking about like produced, you know, like in the industry shit. But yeah, you know, that's a fair point. There's lots of people. There's lots of I think chicks who don't even do like almost anything who are like in sex work, but don't like fuck or do anything.
I almost joined an OnlyFans the other day. I won't say the girl's name because she's a friend of a friend. I almost joined her OnlyFans the other day. She's so hot and she doesn't do nudity. And I was like, my thumb was on the button. I was like, this girl's so hot. She specifically says she doesn't do nudity. Why would I ever pay this person? And then she charges like $25 a month. And it's like what type of, but I think there's a category of guy who's just a little simp bitch who just wants to communicate and is turned on by giving like a hot chick
it's
money
really,
and he's supporting her.
It's really, really sad. Like it's the saddest goddamn thing in the world. But I think, and I don't know, but I think a lot of it is like they actually just want to be able to talk to that chick. And like they just don't have a chick in their life that they can talk
also,
to. And like
it's not just that it also depends on what your level of like what you call it is. Like Soder. Like someone like Soder's like pretty vanilla in that regard. Like Soder like we're literally jerk off to like Instagram bikini girls and type shit like that. And like I need like, you know, gangbangs and shit, like porn to like.
You never go through like cycles where you're like, because
I've gone through. I know you're gonna say we brought this up before. I've gone through cycles of using a little bit, you know, dialed back from this or something a little more simplistic. Exactly, like, But like no, never with regularity. Never that would become a thing. But once in a while, yeah, I think I got caught up in like a porn ad one time. So then I got super into stretch pants being ripped at the pussy.
Oh yeah, have you ever done that?
No, never ripped stretch pants. No, because you know they have to leave eventually, and they can't just have a big hole in their stretch pants.
No, it's easier to kick them in the ass when they're leaving.
Hey, get your naked ass and pussy and short legs out of here. I'll tell you what I did, though. It's so funny that I already forget her name, but one hilarious jerk sesh I had started with me going like...
Yes, by the way, Harrington just texted me exactly who the girl I was talking about. Obviously, Harrington, he texted me.
there's a hilarious subreddit that I found because I looked this up and I was trying to find... I was like, I wonder if you could find out who the girl in the porn ad is, the 5-second ad that plays before your thing. And there's like a sub Reddit that like goes backwards on it. So I found the girl. I already forgot what her name was, but it's the blonde girl with big tits who always gets her whatchamacallit ripped, her yoga pants ripped.
This is a new thing in life as well. Like, I just don't really watch as much porn as I used to.
Sure.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, at all.
I don't jerk off as much as I used to. I mean, if there's something like, there's just something weird. Like, have you ever caught yourself in the mirror jerking off? And you're like, dude, this is like, it's the same way. Like, you'll see like a video of like a gorilla in the zoo playing with his dick. You're like, that's what I'm doing right now. I'm like a monkey just touching myself until I come. And dude, there, when you,
this is be the view if anyone ever saw me while I was jerking off. I'm holding my computer. Usually,
yeah, dude. There's just something so animalistic and fucking like, it's just like we turn into monkeys when we're beating our dicks. And I understand, like, I'm not saying like it's not even like, because I hate like the no fat guys. I hate like that whole movement. There's no like, oh, you got to hold on to your, like, that's gay. But there is something, if you ever just like look in the mirror or like just videotape, you're like jerking off with a chick on the phone, you like look at yourself, you're like, this is really just kind of pathetic in a weird way.
So like, I agree with you, like the fucking, like when Gavin was doing the like no fab thing and stuff, I always thought that was like stupid and kind of gay. But there is, I just like, I'm not like preaching to anyone, but it is, there is something like, I like it better when I'm not watching porn and not jerking off. There's something like, it's like, it's in the same way when you do like drugs, like if you're a big pothead and you build up like a tolerance to it, and then like weed doesn't really get you high anymore. There's something where like, when you're always like visually stimulating yourself like that, like I would feel like you almost, when you stop doing that, I just enjoy the real thing much more. It's like, I don't know. You like reset yourself to like the animal level of like, I don't know. I just think it's better, but I'm not preaching that.
I had a live-in girlfriend for a couple of years, and we had a very healthy sex life. So I never really found myself watching porn or having to jerk off that often. And then it's just maybe an age thing, right? Because
I'm sure that's, you know, part of it.
Yeah. And then, so I've gotten like to the point where it's like, I came out of this relationship on the other side of it. And it's like, now while I go back to watching porn, I'm going like, this doesn't feel the same way that it felt even 2 years ago before I was in this relationship. And it's, I don't know, it's a little bit of a mind fuck. Maybe my libidos get,
I'm,
you know.
I'm surprised how much on the road I don't jerk off. It's like your most alone time too. Where you're like, how many times, like, I'll come home at night even, and I'll be like, you know, after like the shows or something, it's like, yeah, go whatever, knock one out and then hit the sack. And then I end up like, I smoke a joint. I'm still watching whatever clips on you.
We are all just so old.
It's not just, yeah, it sort of is. You just kind of like, I don't feel like going through the whole process.
It's just, Jay's like, I'll probably just jerk off and go to sleep. And you're like, Murder, She Wrote is on.
I can't jerk off before that. Now I'm too tired to jerk. Dude, stopping jerking off. I don't know if you guys have had that phenomenon yet. Stopping while you're jerking off and just being like, I'm over it. Before you finish or anything, just being like,
I don't think I've ever stopped jerking off in the middle of it. Like, I lost interest in my own hand.
I have. I've done that. I've just been like, yeah, dude.
Yo, you're not even hot hand.
I'm like,
I'm thinking about another hand while I'm jerking off.
You go, I don't know, man.
Are you thinking of another hand? No, why?
You just don't seem like you're present.
I'm just saying, like, it doesn't feel the same. Dude, that's what I have to do. I have to make out with my hand. You're just not like, I have a much more passionate relationship with Dave's hand.
Aww.
We fight, we fuck.
Yeah. It's extreme highs and lows, but they make it work. You guys make it work. Yeah, I've absolutely just like been jerking off and been like, it's taken forever. I'm like, I'm spending more time looking up whatever it is I'm trying to find. I don't even know what clip I'm trying to, and just like, I'm over it.
Yeah.
Feels silly. Also, because there's a thing that's weird to get the feeling of like the after jerked off, like this is ridiculous feeling while you're jerking off. Fuck am I doing?
Well, then there's another side of it as well where I'm just like, yeah, I just don't have like, I think I'm just getting older. The libido is just sort of like going away. It's just not the same thing. Even when I talk about sex, what was I watching? I was watching, it wasn't even a, it was, it's not even to knock him. Like, I understand why people do. I was watching, it was a, like a, Bill Dawes, I want to say. Remember Bill?
I remember Bill, yeah.
Bill's a funny comic, good dude, jiu-jitsu guy. And he was just talking about, he just did a video or something, and he was just talking about coming. And it's like, when I come, and I was just like, I was looking at like a, just an adult man talking about coming, just felt very like, it's like, I don't know, we're not kids anymore. We don't have to discuss how we come.
Yeah, you're this goddamn man in your 40s. You can't come. You got your taxes to figure out.
I don't want
to
think about your jizz pouring out of your dick. You're a man.
That little, when it just emerges like a little bubble of cum, you know, Bill Dawes style.
Bill Dawes.
Bill Dawes.
Yeah. But yeah, there's just like, yeah, I mean, whatever. It's, man, also, man, I think it's a combination of like everything. My son's at an age now where it's like, he's fucking, you know, I don't want to like.
Yeah, you want to get like that one or two seasons where it's like LeBron and Bronny, like you're both jerking off it in the game together. But then you got to retire, dude. You got to go fucking. You should be in the Hall of Fame already.
Oh, Dave, I have such a sad news. Well, I guess Lewis, you used to watch Scare Tactics too, right?
Well, it's all fake.
No, it wasn't all fake at all. It's not that they just, as always, they clearly got taken off the air because. I mean, whatever the reasons, like, you just couldn't keep getting away with that. It was, you know, no matter how over the top it was, what they would do to people. They've brought it back now. I forget who's hosting.
It's the kid from Stranger Things.
No. That's a different kind of show. That's a similar kind of show, but that's the one they do on that. There's another one. There's actual Scare Tactics is back.
I believe the one with Game of Thrones kid is actual Scare Tactics. Stranger Things kid.
No.
I believe...
It's called
look it up.
Yeah, it's called like Something Encounters. I watched it. It was pretty bad also because when he comes out, like that Ashton Kutcher style of punk where he comes out and they're like, oh, you're what's your name? You're the kid from Stranger Things. Like no one knows. Dustin, whatever.
Yeah.
There's only like a few episodes out too. It's like three new episodes of Scare Tactics, but they stop. It's just like they shouldn't call it Scare Tactics for that reason. It's like you're not going how far you went before. They used to fucking like really get, and they're redoing the things. The episode I saw was a redo of like the, hey, can you know, like someone gives birth to like a devil baby.
What was the one I saw? There was was it Scare Tactics? Flip is the host of, it's Flip. There was one where, was it Scare Tactics where like they did a prank within a prank?
Oh, they do that. Yes, always.
Were they pretending, and then the guy had a heart attack. And
now
then,
you think you're responsible. You think you're on. You think you're part of the prank show pranksters, and then someone dies, and it's like on your watch. And then the guy just goes, "I'm out of here, man." Do you remember that? Dave, I think we watched that one. He was like,
"I think so, yeah."
He was supposed to be watching out for me. He goes, "Dude, I think this guy might just have had a heart attack." And he goes, "Ooh, I got warrants, man. I'm out." And he just drives away. The guy who's like the actor. The actors leading people in this shit was so funny. Like, hey man, I don't know. I mean, I know we're supposed to be cleaning this place, but I think we should get out of here. And he's like, come on, man, we gotta see what's in here. Just like doing things. That was such a good show. Yeah, the new one. I watched like two episodes. Oh, and this is, they stop it like way early. Like no one gets that scared. It's more like by the time people are like, what the fuck's going on? They go, your friend Steve got you. And they're like, oh, all right.
let's plan a legion of pranks and scare tactic somebody in like a hardcore way.
You want a hard scare tactic someone?
Let's do, who would be fun out of all of our friends to hardcore scare tactic?
We want to see how many skank fans would volunteer for the three of us to make a McCamey Manor somewhere. It's like, do you want the Legion of Skanks to torture you for 48 straight hours? I think that guy's in jail.
McCamey Manor guy?
He might be in jail, or he's definitely in trouble.
For what?
I think a bunch of those people are like actually suing him. They were like, he didn't stop when you said stop and all kinds of shit.
Yeah, but you sign away your thing, right?
I don't know. I mean, anything where the guy's like, I don't want money, just give me dog food and it'll be fine, like seems like pretty crazy. Because you're not really giving him money transact. I don't know what the thing is, but that guy was like, wow, there's a documentary on Hulu about him now. And like the guy's definitely a fucking creepy, weird dude.
All charges were dropped
on him.
Yeah, Jay, way to convict him in the court of public opinion.
I don't know. And there was that other documentary I saw that was called like Black, I think. And it's like the ones where like you can actually, if you're like an adrenaline junkie like that, you could like pay a company to like one day you'll come home from work and they'll like
kidnap you,
or they'll like in your own apartment, like tie you up and fucking like torture you for like however many long you've. It's such a weird thing to be into. But I think I told you this when I watched that documentary about those kind of extreme haunts. It's like the type of personality who goes into that, they said, is very like recovering junkies and stuff get into that. And the
that
girl
makes sense.
And the girl, and I just noticed, I was like watching the documentary, I go, where do I know this girl from? And it was the computer duster I'm walking on sunshine chick is now sober, but she's an extreme haunt like junkie.
Yeah, you showed us that.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah, there's like sometimes there'll be like pranks. It's pretty funny. Where it'll be like a guy and a girl driving in a car and there's a van in front of them. And then like a bunch of guys in masks jump out of the van and they like kidnap the girl. And she's like, oh, what the fuck? What's going on? And she's like, tear, put a bag over her head. And then they drive off. And then they let her out of the van. And when they let her out of the van, the boyfriend's there with a ring and he's proposing to her. And she's like just crying and be like, yes.
You're like just go, traumatized for life.
And they go, oh, also, all that hair on your face is our dick hair. They always got to do a jackass slant at the end. And then also, that fake beard you're wearing is all of our dick hair. It's one of the best reactions of something ever.
What happened to the story that we were going to bring up before that Alex said is actually a good story about the politician?
Yeah, give me a second. I have a lot of tabs open. But basically, this guy is the general director of the National Financial Agency, okay?
And wait, what is he? I missed what you said.
It's just his title, the director of the National Financial Investigation Agency. He has over 400 sex tapes leaked, and they're all with like the wives or family members of people in his life. So here's a list of the ladies he's fucked, and I have like one of the leaked videos that's YouTube friendly. I've found nice.
The wife of director of presidential security, the attorney general's wife, the daughter of the director general of police, the wife of the pastor's little brother, his godfather's wife, his sentry's wife, his bodyguard's wife, 15 friends of his younger sister, his pastor's wife, the wives of several ministers, his own little brother's wife, his uncle's pregnant wife. Jesus.
This guy rules.
Yeah, that guy crushes, stays crushing pussy.
These are all the, and he has all these on tape.
On tape, yeah.
Every one of them.
Over 400 tapes.
Can you send me this file?
Oh, who's the fucking person? I don't know, Dave, you probably know who it was. I keep hearing that last night, all I kept hearing about down here was that somebody important tweeted out your body, my choice or something like that.
I don't know.
Nick Fuentes.
Was it Nick Fuentes?
Oh, yeah but that's not some somebody internet important. Troll. Literally, he's literally like that's his thing, as he says the most shocking.
Yeah, it's like the Tate Brothers.
So this is the uncle's pregnant wife. I'm assuming he had this camera set up in his office. And
so he secretly videotaped them.
Yeah.
Oh, what a king.
Here's the problem with secretly videotaping, aside from the legalities and like the moral abhorrence of it, is that a hidden camera, like if I was going to watch fucking, I want to see like, I've never watched a porn video where it's like a steady camera just in the corner of a room. You're like, who gives a fuck? I want to see like the pussy opening up and shit. It's not really
Jay, that's really deep of you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Hey, Jay, you know what? I never thought of it that way.
Yeah. Pretty nice. I need to see the actual penetration. If not, if you're just watching like sex from a distance, you're just watching a guy do a lot of work covering a girl, basically. It's not that.
Yeah. Might as well just watch a guy dig a hole.
Yeah, really.
All right, dude, can we just get a close-up? Can we get a close-up of this guy's indents on his ass, please?
I want to see a I want to see his dick, but not just dick, and not just some dude's ass.
Also, not just a pussy. I want to see a dick go in a pussy, but I also need to see her face.
Yeah, if you could also get me her face. Well, Backroom Casting Couch really figured that out, right? It's got the one square of a woman getting first time anal, and the other screen is her face receiving first time anal.
Excellent, excellent. See, Senator Ubajabajabaju, maybe you do something like that next time.
Could you please listen? My complaint's not with what you've done. It's the way you filmed what you've done.
Yeah, it's not what you did. It's how you did it. Can we see some more of these sex tapes, Alex?
I'm looking for more. Hold on.
This guy is a fucking savage. This guy's insatiable.
What's the, is it like he, does he just like, is this some kind of like you have to do it kind of thing? Are these people like reluctant, or is this all like, he's just that much of a fucking Mac
he's
daddy?
He's a fucking pimp, dude.
And what's this guy? Because his position isn't, doesn't even seem like it's that like high up.
What's the position again?
The position is the
first cowgirl.
Director General of the National Financial Investigation Agency.
Jay, that could be a very important position in this country.
Let me change what I'm saying. It's not that it's importance or nothing. It doesn't have street flair sound to it. You know what I mean? No one's like, that's the attorney of the thing of the protection of national financial something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you were like, that guy's the governor, that makes sense.
Yeah, but that maybe in Ghana or wherever it is, that's like the head nigga in charge.
Maybe. HNIC, Ghana.
Yeah.
It says he oversees and manages the nation's financial affairs.
Yeah, this motherfucker's got cashola. He has no moral compass, so he's probably stealing money. He's knee deep in his fucking coworkers' wives' pussies.
That's what I'm saying. Do you think he's laying this out with like money and like coercion, or do you think he's just like that?
No, I think he's just pulling it. I don't think he's blackmailing and paying all of these. Like the amount of people that would be willing to have sex for money in that case, like people who are married to other people that he knows. No, he's just a pimp. Oh, hell yeah, dude.
Get it, dog.
Nice body.
You know,
he's got a cock. He's got a big fat African cock, dude. That's what it is. Look, she loves it. Oh my God. I can imagine. Imagine having a dick that big. Fucking asshole.
So great.
It would rule, dude.
Oh, when her elbow has to move when she jerks you off? Oh,
look how far back her head is from his body. That's crazy.
Look how easy that position is for him because his dick goes so far in.
Jay, that's jerkable right there. That is jerkable.
Well, it is jerkable because he's just some dude plugging people's wives.
Yeah.
We've already seen this one.
Yeah.
There we go. Now we're cooking with gas. Oh, there was a picture.
Decent butt, decent cock.
Damn, you can see his dick when he's not even fully turned. Ew, when he's not even fully turned sideways. Now that's not good at all.
That's still pretty good for a black chick.
Listen, doesn't matter when you have a monster cock, you can get through all that.
Yeah, they're not. You know, you have to understand we're dealing with black women.
He's wearing the gayest underwear.
Not sheathed. Underwear.
Those are very small underwear for such a big dick.
Is he raw dogging her? The screen is so small, I can't see if he's raw dogging her.
Of course he is, dude. That's how he rolls. I'll tell you what, he looked like much more of like a dorky whatever in that initial picture.
Is a big dick, do they receive more pleasure considering that they have more dick nerve endings? Like, is sex better for Dave? I know it's better for his girl, but like, Dave, do you feel more pleasure because of the amount of nerve endings in your cock?
I have no way of knowing that any better than you know that.
I have a third of the nerve endings exposed to the earth in my cock that you have.
If we're being generous to you, sure.
But one third.
No, I have no idea.
You don't not know, though.
I have heard people say that uncircumcised have way better
sensation
or whatever. Yeah, sensation.
Yeah. I have heard that. But I mean, that's crazy because sometimes sex feels so good. Like, how it can't feel that much better.
It says here, no larger penises do not necessarily receive more pleasure. The sensitivity and pleasure during sexual activity depend more on factors like technique, emotional connection, and individual psychological responses.
Oh, okay. I realized this was written by a chick who's a liar.
You know, Dave, I have bigger of that in all of those than you. You have your bigger dick. I have bigger mental stimulation.
You think you have better technique than Dave, Jay? Impossible. I think if we it's almost like work. He's working with a tool, so we don't even understand the techniques that can be implemented with that tool.
Well, the argument would be a lot of times that with great size comes lack of technique. I'm not pinning that on Dave. I'm just saying.
No, totally. I mean, I've heard other stuff that makes little dick people feel better too.
Oh yeah! Did you guys know that the most of all nerve endings in the pussy are only like 4 inches in? Those are, I love those facts. You know, 4 inches in is where all the pleasure centers are. Like,
Yeah, yeah, dude. Guys with big dicks, they can't fuck. That's like the argument that hot girls are bad in bed. You're like, well, okay. No, typically hot girls are just hot, and they're into being hot.
I don't know if there's like any rhyme or reason to it, because I've just found it to be either direction. I've fucked girls that I thought were really, really hot that were like terrible in bed, some that are really good in bed, and less.
I don't think there's a correlation. I think it's personal experience. So what I've noticed is most of the time, yes, that's exactly what it is. So most of the time where if I'm with a less attractive girl, she's like, turn the lights off, like not into like changing positions a lot, not into like when you do it with like a really hot chick who's like knows her body and is like really confident. Like hot people like being naked.
No, because the thing is that like fucking people, especially guys, like when they're insecure, like to really pride themselves on like I'm good. But there's just not that much to it. You can get good at sex. It's like it's what we're made to do. The one factor is like you have to be uninhibited. You know what I mean? Like that's the whole thing. Like if you're inhibited, you're not going to be as good. And so what ends up happening is like people who are like insecure, that will make you not as good as you could be. You can get that hot chicks can be really, really insecure. Like I've
no, for sure.
Yeah. 100%. It's almost like, just like being in, I just know like for my, I think of myself, like when I'm in better shape, like I'm one without a doubt better in bed, like without like 100%. Like if I'm in good shape, like I do the fucking, you know, American Psycho, I'll flex in the mirror, I'll get into it, dude. I'll fucking throw a chainsaw at a girl down a hallway.
That's good sex right there.
That's great sex.
Yeah. Sometimes I come and then I put a gerbil maze into her pussy and feed a gerbil into her and then cut her in half and see if I can cut the gerbil and her in half. Oh, that was the book. Sorry.
That was the book.
That was one of the 5 books I read. American Psycho. And I just read it to see if it followed along with the movie.
Did it?
It was more extreme than the movie.
I did like the movie. I thought it was a cool flick.
Great.
Never read the book though.
Fellas, always a great time hanging out with my boys.
Love you guys.
I got some Austin, Texas thing to do.
Have fun out there, man. That club is great.
I'm excited for it. It's going to be a good times, and we will catch you guys next week from our show back at the stand, everybody, for the Legion of Skanks. Until then, peace.
You've been listening to the Legion of Skanks podcast with Big J. Okerson.
Did you suck it? I think I would instinctually suck it.
Thick with 3 C's.
Who else be fucking over, Lewis?
Lewis Gomez.
Lewis J. Gomez, you motherfucker.
Lewis J. Gomez.
You ever try to watch a retard draw a swastika? It's hilarious.
I'm sort of known as a point guard of podcasting. Being a fat gay guy is so fucking awesome.
And comedian Dave Smith.
You fucking godless, soulless sodomites.
That's the fucking best joke I've ever heard in my life.
It was 8 inches.
The Legion of Skanks podcast.